Jesus. We are actually starting a new series, and this series is going to be going on for the next 6 weeks. And let me put this picture up. Right, so when I first came to this country, in growing up in Southern California, in Los Angeles, we don't have this symbol. And this doesn't mean like spin cycle washing, right? You guys know what this symbol is, right? Roundabout. Wrong direction. Is the roundabout wrong direction? This is the European sign, is it? It's the American roundabout sign. This is what happens when you Google image search and you don't pay attention. But in America, we don't have roundabouts. We only have stop signs, four-way stops. So you come to a stop intersection, you have to stop your car for 2 seconds before you can drive again, and you have to look to see if there's another car and if it's safe. And it's really funny because when I first came to this country, I was like, how do these roundabouts work? Why don't people just die when they go into this? Like, what happens? And they're like, you know, because you always look to the right and you'll see if a car's coming, that one has the right of way. It's fine. It makes so much sense. Now that I've lived in this country, I think roundabouts are the most genius, amazing things in the world. And I found out they actually have a roundabout in America, in Los Angeles, but they put stop signs on it. So you come up to the stop sign and there's a roundabout there and you have to stop and you have to look, and then you have to drive around. And it's even more confusing because it's neither a roundabout nor a stop sign. Now, when I first came and I thought I was in a roundabout, I thought, you know, actually, one thing that's really good about roundabouts is if you miss the turn, you can just keep going around until you come back and you see it, and then you get off. What's bad is if you're lost, and you don't know where you're going, you don't know what's going on, and you're in the roundabout, and you're like, do I get off here? Oh, no, I'm in the wrong lane now. I have to go around again. Oh, no, I can't. I'm stuck. I'm going round and around and around in circles. And I asked my friend when I was learning how to drive, so could I stay in a roundabout indefinitely? They said, yes, until your petrol runs out, and then there'll be a lot of angry people because you blocked the roundabout. The point being is actually in our life, for a lot of us, we feel as if we're stuck in a never-ending roundabout. Whether it's our life situation, the way we manage our finances, the struggles that we deal with, maybe it's the sense of I'm always a failure, I always feel guilty, I'm never good enough. Those kind of things sometimes leave us in this roundabout that feels like you'll never, ever get out, and you're just stuck there. And a lot of us feel this when I found that it was a big part of who I was, being stuck in this roundabout, my own life when I was growing up. And when I say growing up, like when I was like 20 to 30, well, 20 to 25, I felt like this was just a spiral that I was stuck in, I couldn't get out. And at some point, when you're stuck in a roundabout, you just start to get used to it, and you just think, well, this is just who I am. This is where I am. This is what I'm going to be like forever. In other words, this is the end of my journey. I'm never going to leave this roundabout and actually continue to where I need to go. I'm stuck here. I'm stuck at who I am. The series that we're starting off is actually called Breaking the Cycle. And it's about actually breaking out of that trapped roundabout that we feel we're stuck in or locked into. And it's actually the chance to say, you know, God, actually, I do not want to be stuck in the same way any longer. I don't want to be stuck with the same attitudes or the same problems, or the same issue. And for a lot of us, it might be replaying a memory, or we broke up with someone and it still wounds us. Or we had problems with our family growing up, and it's bad stuff. I'm not saying these aren't bad things that happen, but it becomes paralyzing. And it becomes letting the pain define who we are, or the bad habit define who we are. Over the next 6 weeks, every week after service, we're going to have a special time where you can just go back and talk to one of the prayer ministry, and they'll just pray for you. But at the same time, when you're at home this week, just start saying, God, actually, I want to get out of this cycle. I don't want to be stuck in this any longer. I want that freedom. That's what this series is about. It's about breaking the cycle. And actually, the best place for us to start is on this idea of that we actually have this new identity. So if you'll join me in a word of prayer as we get started. God, we remember when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. And for a lot of them, they were born into slavery, and they felt like slavery was just going to be their life. There was no more hope. There was no way out. It was who they were. But God, you are what they call the deliverer, the one who set your people free. And so I ask you now, Lord, will you deliver us? Will you set us free? Will you show us what Jesus' victory on the cross really means, so that we can move forward and move out of the repetition or the cycles or the harmful attitudes or mindsets or hurts that we have and just begin to really move forward. We look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This idea of a new identity is it's kind of interesting. It's not like a secret identity. Well, let me start with this story. I have two sons. My younger son, Oscar, he's just turned 5. But when he was probably about 2 or 3 years old, he used to do this thing. So he'd draw a picture, and then he'd draw something wrong on it. He wouldn't be happy with it. And then he'd say, "No, I don't, start again." And he'd scribble out the whole page and then flip to get a whole new page, which of course drove my wife crazy, because she's like, "Why are you, there's like 75% of the paper has not been used. You drew one line on it and now you've scribbled out. You got to start all over again." "No, I need to start again." And then he says, "Let's start again." And we think, oh, just on a new paper. But he's like, "No, I had to go back to being a baby. Start all over again. Start all the way back in the beginning. Start, I'm a baby again. I want to start from the very beginning." I was like, "What is wrong with you? You can't go back." And he wants us, he's like, "Can we reenact my whole life to get back up to this point so that I can do it right from the beginning?" This whole sense of, I want to be new again. Thankfully, he's not like that anymore. He's settled down from that. But that idea of going back to being new again, I think that's something that we relate to, isn't it? It's why the idea of time travel is so appealing. If you could go back and fix that mistake, if you had a chance to start again. Maybe because in our life, a lot of us, we have regrets. Things we wish different, we did differently. Sometimes my parents are pretty hip. They Instagram, and they follow us on Instagram. If you guys are not as hip as my parents, Instagram is a photo sharing thing that people take pictures and then add filters to, but not like the Snapchat filters. And then they put it up there and people comment or like it. And then anyway, so they're on Instagram. And I had a picture of when I was in the States. I took a picture of me and my two boys, and we were in a bookshop. And we were just sitting there waiting for the shopping to finish so that we could leave the bookshop. My sister left a comment on that Instagram. She said, "Oh, I remember when Mom used to just drop us off at the bookstore and then disappear and go shopping. And then she would just come pick us back up in the bookstore." And we were laughing about it because we thought, oh, we actually like being in the bookstore. Then my mom left a comment on the Instagram. "Oh, I'm sorry. I don't even remember doing that. I wasn't a very good mom. I'm really sorry. I hope you can forgive me." And I thought, oh, my sister did the Chinese guilt tripping of my mom in reverse. So power is now with us. But actually what it was my mom in her life, even as parents, she looked back with some regrets that she wished she could have done things differently. And for a lot of us, we have that same attitude. Whether we're young or we're old, there are things in the life we wish we could have done again. And that's kind of the challenge. When my son was thinking, "I want to go all the way back to the beginning," he said, "I want to start again." Now, the reason you know if there is an issue in your life in particular, something that you know is like a stone or something in your attitude that you feel like it's stuck, "I can't move forward anymore. This is who I am." What we're asking is, God, can you break that stone? Can you still change me? Can you still save me? Can you still help me be new again? There's this passage where actually this guy is talking about having this conversation with Jesus. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, comes from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Now, just to stop there for a second, this Pharisee, at this time, they did not really like Jesus. They were like, he's teaching things and we're not happy with it. We think he might be misleading people. We should shut him down because he's claiming to be God, and that is not a good sign. But at the same time, there were some Pharisees who were like, but what he's saying resonates so powerfully, so truthfully. Is there truth in it? And so this one Pharisee, Nicodemus, comes to Jesus at night. Now he's coming at night so the other Pharisees don't see him and say, what are you doing going to talk to Jesus? But Nicodemus is searching for something. And he's trying to find out whether Jesus is true or real. And so he's this conversation with Jesus. And so he starts off with, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. In other words, he starts off by saying, look, I see that there's something different about you. There's something true in you. And so for some of us who are not Christians, we're like, we see that there's something different with these Christian people. We see there's something different that happens here in worship. So we know that there is a God here. There's something special. But who is he? And then Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Which is exactly what Oscar wants to do. Nicodemus said, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. We have this picture, actually, of Jesus talking about being born again, having this new life. And he's saying, look, all of us, we are born once. Okay, all of us were born once. None of us were born twice. We all were born into this world once physically, right? That's how it works. But he's also saying all of us need to have a spiritual birth. A moment in our life when actually the Spirit comes alive and you are a new born believer. It's that part of your life which suddenly springs to life where you realize there is something different and Jesus is the way and I choose to follow him. That's the new life that starts there. And it makes, on one hand, doesn't make sense. Well, I only know the physical world. I only know this physical understanding. How can someone be born again? But when you do know God and you are born spiritually, you realize, actually, now that I am born of God, I'm not the same person that I was before. I'm now someone different. And not in a crazy kind of different, but like in a truthful life kind of different. Knowing Jesus is genuinely life-changing. When you actually follow him and know who he is, it transforms who you are. It's funny because you're still the same physically, you're still the same in some ways, but on another level in the way you think and your attitude and your heart, you're changing and becoming even more like Christ. That passage where Jesus is talking about being born of the Spirit, he's actually also referring to a passage in Ezekiel in the Old Testament, a prophecy, which says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." In other words, Jesus is promising new life. Brand new life. Well, what is this new life? In 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." And the Holy Spirit, because of Jesus' sacrifice, means we can have sanctification and justification, which are two very big Christian-y words, which we don't really use in modern-day speech, right? So let's kind of break that down a little bit. What does it mean to be sanctified, and what does it mean to be justified? Sanctified actually means that you are now set aside. You are clean and holy before God. The promise here is actually that Jesus has sanctified you. You are now clean and you are now holy. You understand, you are cleansed because of God. You're not guilty anymore. You're not a failure anymore. You're not useless anymore. You're not dirty or filthy anymore. You've been forgiven. Even the shameful things that you've done in the past, the things that you try not to feel bad about anymore, God has forgiven you because of what Jesus has done. You have been sanctified. The second part, justified, actually means as if you were never impure to begin with. Justified actually means it's the legal idea of you are actually not guilty. You are declared innocent. In other words, there's no stain on your record anymore. When you are sanctified and justified, that's what it means to actually have new life, doesn't it? You are not guilty anymore. No one can condemn you. And you have this new freedom and healing in your life. For us, that's that real question is, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus has done that for you? So the hard part actually for a lot of us is we don't feel that way, do we? We still feel like we have to somehow earn God's love. We have to prove ourselves to be a good Christian first. And the reason we feel that way is because we might have heard this before, but then we realize we keep messing up and we keep failing and we keep falling. And it makes it so difficult to believe that God's grace is still there for us. Because, well, how could God be so good? How can he keep forgiving us, even though we've messed up so many times? Being from a Chinese heritage background, there's always a lot of pressure for us to excel in school, to do well. I think the funniest comment that a lot of people from Chinese heritage backgrounds say is, you can get 6 A stars and 1 A, and no one will comment on those A stars, but they'll say, what happened here? Something go wrong here? You didn't study hard enough for this one. And it'll be something like general studies, right? But it won't matter because they'll be like, how will you ever be a doctor from that 1A? And you're like, it's because it's not related. It's not going to make a difference. But what's sad is that idea of shame or failure persists. And it makes us feel that we have to work harder to become better. And then if we're better, then we'll be recognized or we'll become who we are or who we need to be. But at the same time, actually, that's not the way God works. God actually says, look, you will never be good enough for me. And so I wash it all clean. So come to me. Come to me and know a new beginning, a new life. See, I didn't understand this. I grew up in church. And so I grew up from 5 years old, I was going to church. And I became a Christian because it made a lot of sense. It still makes a lot of sense in my mind. But I didn't understand what it meant to actually be a new creation. I knew I did some things wrong. I knew I did some things bad. I knew things I was a bit shameful of. But I knew God forgave me. But I still didn't understand what it meant to be a new creation. Until when I was about 20, my life really started getting messed up. Because I discovered I was looking for satisfaction, or I was looking for assurance, I was looking for forgiveness, for understanding from other sources. And when you're looking for that kind of recognition or that place or that peace someplace else, it only makes the void even deeper. There's still something empty there. So whether you're trying to find peace from your spouse, or you're trying to find peace in getting that good job or getting that raise, at some point you still recognize there is still something missing. Some life that I'm not having. And what God is saying is, you will never find that peace or that life or that hope until you say, Jesus, you are above everything. And for me, it was that breaking point, actually, where I stopped going to church. I stopped praying. I stopped reading the Bible. And I felt my life just descend. I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where God is. I still believe in him because I grew up this way, but I don't know, was I brainwashed? What does it all mean? And I was descending down, and I was like, I don't know what to do. And I picked up a book, I started reading it. And as I was reading this book called Freedom in Christ, it brought up all these passages from the Bible, and for the first time it spoke into my heart because it said, who I am in Christ. That I am loved. That I am forgiven. That I am free. And it wasn't this book that did it to me. It wasn't my own reaching out. It was actually just the love of God actually hit me for that moment. In my crying out for him, God was merciful and said, yes, this is who I am. And in that process, God was telling me who I am. The crazy thing is, after that happened, I no longer cared what people thought about me. I wasn't insecure anymore. It didn't mean I suddenly just decided to just go crazy, but in my heart, in my head, I was like, you know, it doesn't matter what these people think. It doesn't matter whether my parents show me affection or not. It doesn't matter whether this girl is mean to me. None of these things matter, because in the scope of God's amazing love, it is awesome to just have life in him. That's all. There is amazing freedom when you suddenly have this realization that God is everything he says in the Bible, that he is that true, that he is that loving, that he loves us so much, that he forgives us so much, that his grace is that abundant. I remember that weekend I went down to church, and I was like, and people were like, oh, haven't seen you in a while, you know, in that kind of guilt trippy church way that they say it. And I was like, oh, that's, yeah. And I said, yeah, well, it doesn't matter, because actually, yeah, God is really awesome. You know, God really loves me. And it's crazy because I could say those things and not be fake, be fake about it or be cheesy about it. But just in genuinely, like, God is really this great. That is very much for us the start of the journey. And as you walk on that road, you still find that there are times when you make big mistakes, really bad mistakes, kind of mistakes that you fall and start crying out to God, God, can you save me from this situation? Because I really messed up really badly. But every time you reach out and begin to understand, the grace of God means you are sanctified and justified just because of Jesus' amazing grace. That amazing grace gives you the strength to face each day, to love again, to reach out to those who are in need, to spend time with the people that you're angry with, to love your enemies, to bless those who curse you, to forgive. And you begin to understand, when you know the new life of Christ in you, it means you become more and more like Christ. Not because you're trying to be more like one, because Christ is living in you. In 2 Corinthians, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you are a new creation, you cannot be the old creation again. If you are new, you're a new creation. You can't go back. But what we try to do is we try to go back because it's comfortable, it's familiar. It's like you've driven like 20 miles from that roundabout, but you're like, ooh, I'm going to go back to that roundabout and hang out there for another like 10 hours because that seems like a cool place for me to be. Maybe it's a habit or it's an idea that's there, but you have to just say, no, that is the old life. and I am a new creation. I don't think that way anymore because that is not true and that's not who I am. I am not a failure. I am alive in Christ. I am not unable to speak because I have the power of God who gives me strength. I don't hate these people because God has forgiven me, so I forgive them. Do you understand? You cast off that old attitude, the old life, and you hold on to the new. And that's what it means to suddenly be new again. You don't go out and buy a new iPhone 7 and say, oh, this is so great. Oh, I'm going to get my Nokia 3310 now and use it all the time because I don't want to use my iPhone 7 unless you're trying to like fast from the world. You understand, right? You don't take what's new and throw it away for something old again. But what God is talking about is birth. You are born again. So any attempts to go back to this old attitude, old life, is actually fake. That's not the truth. That's not the real life that's there. You're ignoring the real life that God's given you. When I first understood what it means to have that new life, I had to put up these verses on my wall to remind me, oh, actually, this is who I am in Christ. I am forgiven. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, those things really began to remind me, actually, that's what it means to be God's child. It's not about me or who I want to be or who I think I am. It's learning who I am again. Which is why, again, the idea of being a newborn is such a perfect idea. God is teaching you again, new from the beginning, who you are. The coolest thing that happened to me once this realization happened was I'd grown up and I'd memorized these verses as a Christian growing up, and I just memorized in my head. But when God actually showed me what it meant to have this new life, all those verses came alive again. The Bible, reading the Bible came alive because it was like, this is, oh, so cool. It's God is saying something really precious, really powerful. I'm so excited. I'm so hungry. I would want to rush home to read the Bible because there was something special there. And it wasn't because I was forcing myself, but it was just discovery like, actually, God, you are true. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. This idea of reconciliation being we are no longer at war, but we are at peace with God. And all this is from God. In other words, God has done this for us. He has given us that peace. He has given us Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is say, yes, peace has come. The peace of God has come. I'm no longer fighting against God. You don't have to fight God anymore. You don't have to fight because you're not sure of what he's saying or because of who you are or because of the issues that you struggle with. You just have to say, God, you're right. You have reconciled me to you. I am yours and you are mine. Let me be at peace with you again. The last thing that we have with this new identity, this new life, is we actually have a new purpose. Whoops, too far. We have a new purpose. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Now that is a lot of big words and a lot of things kind of going on. So let's break it down, and I bolded the parts to make it a little bit clearer. Okay, we know that it's actually by God's divine power. But he grants to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Just take that promise first. God has given us, he has granted to us all things in life that relate to godliness. In other words, we don't have any need. We're without need because God has granted us all things. So you're struggling with some sin in your life. You're struggling with some attitude or mentality. You just have to stop and say, God, actually, you have granted me all things in life pertain to godliness. So can you show me? Can you teach me? Can you make it real inside so that I live that new life out instead of me trying to force myself into this when I realize already, God, you have already given it to me inside. It's almost as if God is saying, I have given you the key through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to unlock the truth which I have put in your heart. And all you have to do is say, yes, God, I need this. Change my mind so that I can have that godliness. Unlock that in me. Now, just stop for a moment and imagine if that was our prayer, if that was our belief, if we understood that that's actually what God has granted to us. When you wake up and you have a struggle with someone or your marriage is falling apart or you're struggling with sins that you don't want to tell anyone, don't you just stop in the morning and say, actually, God, you have given me all these things, so let your godliness flow through my life today. And you don't have to trust, you don't have to try to figure out how am I going to fix this or how am I going to change this or how am I going to turn from this way to that way. You just say, well, God, this is, you have made me a new creation. How do I live that new creation today? Because it's very much one moment, one day at a time. And at some point you suddenly realize, wow, the circumstances around me have changed or my attitude has changed. Because every day I began to understand what it meant to live as a new creation. Breaking the cycle doesn't always just mean you take a hammer and smash a window and jump out of it. Breaking a cycle sometimes means you're just learning how to walk a little bit further out until finally you're walking down a different road. The passage goes on, you have this knowledge through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory. And excellence. In other words, we know this because God himself has called us out, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. Again, this is the second thing you realize because of Jesus. He grants us all these promises in the Bible. All his precious promises are given to us, which means at the very basic, we are part of his family, his inheritance. We are his children. We belong to him. If you struggle with your identity or belonging or acceptance, you have to understand you are accepted by God. If you struggle with fear or anxiety, you start to say, actually, but you know what? What do I have to fear? Because God is with me. You begin to understand that's what it means. We are more than conquerors, that we are ambassadors, that we have this new life in us. The hardest part for us to do as Christians is to let go of our old life and say, yes, God, I cling to you. Your new life is here already. Your new life, your spirit dwells in me already. Let me live. So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. And I just bold that because I think that's a great phrase. We are partakers in the divine nature. We share in the almighty power of God. If you think you are in a situation that is hopeless, that you can't get out of it, that you're doomed, that you're cursed, you are actually a partaker of God's divine nature. His life brings freedom. It brings truth. It brings hope. It makes us realize that in this new birth, we are made in the image of God. The most amazing thing about spiritual birth is actually it gives us God's spiritual DNA. It's the spiritual DNA which says you're now your character will slowly be shaped by God over time to become more and more like him. That's why Jesus is so amazing, because Jesus is that perfect God's spiritual DNA. And when you look at Jesus' life, you see such beauty, such love, such patience, at the same time, such justice, such truth, such mercy, such forgiveness. And for us, it's like, God, that same life, I want to be like that. So God, let your DNA overtake whatever old DNA I had, and that new life, show me and teach me what that new life is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. It's an imperishable inheritance, and Jesus is the one that breaks us out of our cycle. As we come to our second time of worship and we respond, during this time, you know, cry out to God. Say, God, I am a new creation in you. I have new life in you. And if you struggle to say those, if you struggle to believe that, then come and receive some prayer. And just say, you know what? I am going through some really bad stuff right now. I've given up hope, but I need Jesus. Can he teach me today? Show me that I am a new creation. For all of us, it's this moment of actually receiving again from God, receiving his forgiveness, receiving his purity, receiving his freedom, receiving his life, and receiving his newness. If you have never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus before, but you know that this new life is what you need, same thing, come to one of the ministers in the back and say, can you just pray for me? I'm not Christian, but I want to believe in Jesus today. And they'll lead you through a prayer. Just invite Jesus to say, Jesus, you come. You take control of my life. You give me that new birth in you. Let's pray and invite the worship team to come up. Lord Jesus, it's by your amazing grace and your amazing blood that we have life. And God, you have given us new life. So I pray that you open our eyes to see who you are, that your spirit touch us and show us and convict our minds and our hearts and our souls to see what it means that we are new creations to you, that the old has gone, and the new has come. Let us take hold of the promises that you have given us, that you have granted to us, these precious promises to say who we are in you, what we have received from you, Lord. But let us go away from here no longer the same, but changed in the new life that we have in you. So we thank you. We come and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you come and worship, let's really seek the Lord and let his spirit just touch and move you. Let's worship.